in studying out of Daniel chapter 9 tonight, we know that there's much of the Old Testament, especially Daniel, yet to be fulfilled. Right? How many of you know that? There's much of Daniel that is yet to be fulfilled. So much of it corresponds with Revelation. I want to tell you something that's true concerning the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. Daniel, welcome, Laura. Daniel had the same anointing that John had. This is why they spoke in their visions in multiples of seven. Like the 70 sevens of Daniel and the repeated usage of seven. Daniel was called the man highly esteemed and beloved by God. And John was known as the beloved. It is Daniel and John that both talk about the end time events where Antichrist is concerned. I want you to, when you get a chance, to go through the book of Daniel and to go through the revelation of John, I want you to see the similarities. There's something else. Daniel chapter 10 and Daniel and Revelation chapter 1, we see that both Daniel and John had the appearance of Jesus in vision to them. And it was the exact same visage. Jesus appeared to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10, and he also appeared to John in Revelation 1 in vision. And that it was the exact same visage. It was the exact same vision. It was the exact same picture of Jesus. But all of this goes to show you that the same anointing that Daniel had is the same anointing that John had. And there's a reason for this. But tonight, what we want to focus on is Daniel chapter 9. And I want to read to you something from Revelation so that this can be quickened to you, the importance of it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, and this is Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testified to everything he saw. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. What must soon take place. Now, in Daniel, we have this caveat at the end, in Daniel chapter 12. When he was shown all this stuff by the angel of the Lord, when he was shown all this, he asked, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel," chapter 12, verse 9. "Because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified and made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand." And he ends up, "As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and at the end of days you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." The end of days, the last day. Our hope, just as Daniel's hope, was to be raised on the last day. Now this, he was told, Daniel was sealed up until the time of the end. The time of the end is another euphemism for the last days. The last day started with Jesus. Now we have determined from the scriptures, through the Spirit, that each day with God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as a day. And let me explain this, because it has a basis for what we're talking about here. The last days started with Jesus. There have been 2 days that have passed. We're at the end of the sixth day now, or the second day since Jesus was here. In creation, there was a total of 7 days. 6 days God created, and the seventh he rested. When we look at this spiritually, We see 6 days have passed. From Adam until now have been 6 days. We're at the end of the sixth day now, and at the dawn of the seventh. It is no coincidence, and hear me, that the thousand-year reign of Christ is a millennium, 1,000 years. It is the last day. It is the Sabbath day, the seventh. It is the rest of God you're striving to enter into through the resurrection of the dead. That's the last day. And there are events that lead up to the last day. Now, I want you to notice what was told to Daniel. Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. The time of the end came with Jesus. The last days. 4 days had passed, and there were 3 days yet to go when Jesus came. The last days. The last day is that third day, or the seventh day of creation. It is the thousand-year reign of Christ. It starts with Jesus coming and ends with the great white throne judgment. So when you see this, I want you to see this comparison. The words of Daniel were sealed up until the time of the end. But they're opened in the last days, the time of the end. Now the revelation John was given was to show his servants what must soon take place. This was the revelation that God gave to Christ to show his servants what must soon take place. See, then it's soon because they're in the last days. Here with Daniel is that the words are sealed until the last days, until the time of the end. Now that we've gotten closer to the time of the end, and this is real important, there is a final seven, and I want to talk about that a little bit, our purpose for being in the book of Daniel tonight. There is a final seven where the last days are concerned. A final seven-year period. Now, let's correct a misunderstanding. And Daniel 9:27 really tells us concerning this final seven. And let me read it to you. Many have thought that this final seven, up until Jesus' return, is a tribulation. But it's not. Only half of it is. This final seven is described by Daniel as a covenant. Listen to this in Daniel 9:27. He says, he, speaking of his ruler who will come, will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he, this ruler who will come, will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on a wing of the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Alright, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of that seven, he causes an abomination of desolation. Matthew 24:15 tells us, Jesus himself, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, so it's a direct reference to this verse, let the reader understand. When you see this abomination of desolation, then it's time to flee, because verse 21, then begins the greatest tribulation man will ever see. So according to Jesus, it is the abomination of desolation that starts the last 3.5 years until Jesus comes. According to Jesus, this abomination of desolation is what starts the great tribulation. And we see the great tribulation ending in verse 31 with Jesus' coming. So the seven-year period is a covenant the Antichrist makes with many. Now, the question is, what does this covenant concern? A lot of people have played guessing games with this, and there's no reason to guess. The scripture is very clear. You've heard people say, well, it's a peace treaty. It's a peace treaty, they say. They're guessing. It says he makes a covenant with many. They're guessing it's a peace treaty. It might be a good guess, and it might be a lousy guess. But nevertheless, that's all it is a guess. But we want to do something different tonight. We want to let the scripture describe to us what this covenant is and what it has to do with. We are focusing right now, here tonight, on this final seven-year period and defining the events of this seven-year period and their purpose. The seven-year covenant, what is it about? Notice it starts with the ruler who will come. I want you to notice that point. It starts with the ruler who will come. This Antichrist. And it says, now listen, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on a wing of the temple, he'll set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. When do we see that end that is decreed poured out on him? We see it in Revelations 19. Revelations 20 begins that last day, the day of the Lord. Revelations 19 is the destruction of the Antichrist and the false prophet, this ruler who will come. This ruler who causes an abomination of desolation. In Revelations 19, we see that Jesus destroys him with the brightness of his coming. That he takes the beast and his false prophet and throws them directly into the lake of fire. That is the end that is decreed and poured out on the Antichrist. On the beast. On this ruler who will come. That's how it ends. It ends with Jesus' coming to stop Armageddon. When he's got his armies gathered around. And then we see that his army is given to the birds of the air. All that's in Revelations 19. You don't have to take my word for it. So you see a beginning of this final seven is him making a covenant with many. The end of this final seven is him being destroyed and thrown into the lake of fire at Jesus' coming, at Jesus' appearing. Now, we're going to bear all this out with Scripture. But I want you to see those two markers. Because it's those two markers, the beginning of this final seven and the end of this final seven, that help us describe its purpose. Why the final 7 years? You've got to ask yourself. So when we're talking about these 77s that Daniel, I want to read through them. Now, we're not going to do some kind of strict interpretation of all what the 77s are. But I want to ask you some questions, and I want you to think about it. And then we're going to get to the main point. In order to understand this covenant he makes with many, we have to understand the nature of the covenant and who the many are. Daniel 9 answers those questions. Daniel 9 answers those questions because Daniel 9 is written in a specific context. Now, so let's look at what the thesis statement of this part of the chapter is. It is, and this is important, the context here of the 77s concerns this vision. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, verse 20, Daniel chapter 9, the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord, my God, for his holy heel, while I was in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I've come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given. Now let's ask the question, who is Daniel praying for? You've got to see the continuing context. Who was it Daniel was praying for? In Daniel chapter 9, he tells us here at the beginning of it, let's go back and look at that. In the first year, verse 2, Daniel chapter 9, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord and great and awesome God, who keeps his covenants with love, and all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wickedly. Who? The people of Jerusalem. What was his prayer about? The people of Jerusalem. Who was taken into, what city was given over to desolation? Jerusalem. Who was taken into captivity? Judah. That's the context. So these 77s, when Gabriel appears to him to give him an answer to his prayer concerning the people of God and Jerusalem, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in an earlier vision, came to me in swift flight. Verse 22, He instructed and said to me, Daniel, I have come now to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given. And I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city. What's the holy city? Jerusalem. To finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, without going into an strict interpretation of what these 77s are, and that is something we could do, but that's not what we're going to do tonight. We are going to hit the point here. What was the purpose of the 77s? Let me read it again. 77s are decreed for your holy city, Jerusalem, your people, the Jews, to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Well, let me ask you, have any of those things been done? If you are going to interpret the 77s according to God's way of interpretation, the 77s will not be done until this happens. An end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy. Those things have not been done, have they? Do we see everlasting righteousness brought into Jerusalem? No, we still have in this context, even in the final seven, an Antichrist. The ruler who shall come in this final seven, verse 27, he'll confirm a covenant with many for 1 7, and in the middle of the seven, he'll put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on a wing of the temple, he'll set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. So in the context of what this vision is supposed to be for, do we see this vision being fulfilled before that final seven? Do we see before that final seven an end to sin? Do we see an atonement for wickedness? Do we see the fulfillment of bringing in everlasting righteousness to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy? No, you don't see that, do you? So anybody who's going to try to make this a literally 490-year period, 77s, has missed the boat on what this means because it hasn't happened. Now, we've got 2 points here to make. Either Daniel is not Scripture, or it is yet to be fulfilled. Do you see the point? Either Daniel is not Scripture, or the 77s are yet to be fulfilled. There is no way on God's green earth that you can make the 77s literally about a 490-year period that started there. It's yet to be done. That's the first understanding you have to have. Now the context, here's the second part. When we get down to this final seven, where we're focusing tonight, remember, it concerned the city of Jerusalem and his holy people. So if the Antichrist, the ruler who will come, makes a covenant with many, in that context, who are the many? This 77 is for the Jews. This 77 is for God's holy people and Jerusalem. So if the Antichrist, this ruler who shall come, makes a covenant with many, who are the many? Who are the many? Anybody got an idea? This was written to the Jews concerning Jerusalem. Right, the many are Jews. This ruler who shall come makes a covenant with many. The Jews. That's the context. All right, now what kind of covenant would he make with the Jews? I want you to notice something. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 7, and in the middle of the 7 he'll put an end of sacrifice and offering, and on a wing of the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation. This covenant concerns the temple. Can you see the deception here? Now, with other parts of Daniel, we can go into Daniel chapter 8, and we can go into Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 describes this great tribulation as the time of Jacob's trouble, right? Time of Jacob's trouble. Jews, Israelites. Right? Daniel 8 describes a man who understands dark sayings, a stern-faced king, will rise when the rebels, the great rebellion, the great falling away that Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians 2, when rebels become completely wicked, and that he will set up the abomination of desolation. So if he makes a covenant and enters in through flattery, as Daniel tells us, this covenant concerns the temple. It's rebuilding. Now, this is meant to line up exactly where Cyrus, and you'll notice that this vision was given in the first year of Darius. Chapter 10, that vision of chapter 10 is in the third year of Cyrus. Cyrus, king of Persia, is the one who stood up after they had overthrown Babylon and said, God has sent me to build his house. And he made a covenant with the Jews to send them back to the land and all the articles out of Babylon. This very captivity that Daniel is in when he gives this prophecy concerning the 77s. Cyrus the Mede stands up and makes a covenant with the people for them to go back and build their house, to build God's temple. And he is a figure here for Antichrist, because this is what Antichrist will do. He will make a covenant with many to build that temple. And in the midst of them building it, he'll make a 7-year covenant. The 7 years is for them to build the temple and start to institute their worship again. But in the midst of that 7 years, he'll take a seat in the temple and proclaim himself to be God. That's what this is about. This is why the temple is mentioned in conjunction with this final 7. And the final 7 itself being a covenant. And remember, the context is the Jews and the holy city of Jerusalem, where the temple is. The many are in the context of the Jews. So who, can you see that this covenant concerns them building the temple? How many of you can see that? And it's in the midst of this covenant that he causes the abomination of desolation, which starts the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, we're going to read a little bit from the end of chapter 11 to the beginning of chapter 12, so we can see some confirming for this. All right, when we're talking about this Antichrist, this ruler who will come, it says, reports from the east, toward the end of his reign here, verse 44, and the north will alarm him, and he'll set out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. He'll pitch his royal tents between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain. That's the Temple Mount. Yet he will come to his end and no one will help him. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise and there will be a time of distress. So you see, when he pitches his royal tent between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain, which is the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah, that's when the great tribulation starts. There'll be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, speaking of the Israelites, the Jews, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. You see the point here. Now, the reason we're making this point is so that you can see clearly two things. That Daniel 9 is talking about this final 7-year period. That one, this is a period of time that is yet to come. Two, it is a covenant, not a tribulation. And three, it is a time in which the events that will immediately precede the Lord's coming occur. All of these are events that are signs of the Lord's coming. The revealing of Antichrist, the abomination of desolation, the building of that temple, all of these are signs of how close the day of the Lord is. And that's why they all take place in this final seven. Now, I want to confirm this. First, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 6. Now, as you notice, Daniel had 70 sevens. Revelation has 7 seals. The final 7 of Daniel's 77s are the final 7 years before Jesus returns. Have we shown that? The final 7 in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, the final 7 of Daniel's 77s are the final 7 years before Jesus returns. Have we shown that? And remember, it's not a tribulation. It includes a tribulation in it, but it is primarily a covenant that he makes with many. All right? The 7 seals describe this exact same 7-year period. The final 7. And that's the purpose of the 7 seals. Now, you're going to learn something here maybe you've not learned before. But this is about clarity. In Revelation chapter 6, listen to this. Now remember how that final 7 started. It started with the Antichrist making a covenant, right? So the final 7 starts with the Antichrist doing something, coming on the scene. What reveals him for what he is the abomination of desolation in the middle of that covenant. But his coming on the scene is what starts this whole last 7-year event. Right? His coming on the scene is what starts. It's him making that covenant that starts that final 7 years. And you notice that he causes great war and devastation, as it says in Daniel 8, Daniel 9, Daniel 11, and Daniel 12. All right? Now listen to this. The 7 seals. I watched the Lamb open the first of the 7 seals, and I heard one of the 4 living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come!" And I looked, there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. See, the 7 seals start out with Antichrist. On a white horse with a bow and a crown, a conqueror bent on conquest. All right, now, what does a conqueror bent on conquest do? Second seal. He starts a war. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come," and another horse came out, a fiery red one, and its rider was given power to take peace from the earth, war, and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. So you see, a conqueror bent on conquest, what does he do? He starts war. When the Lamb opened the third seal, and I heard the third living creature say, "Come," and I looked, there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand, and I heard what sounded like a voice among the 4 living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." Famine. Now, isn't it interesting? And, you know, we all just seen it not too long ago in Liberia. This guy, bent on conquest, starts war. War brings with it famine and plague. See, it's a natural progression. What's the next thing after famine and plague? When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth creature say, come, and I looked, therefore, it was a pale horse, whose rider was named Death, was Death, and Hell, or the grave, was following close behind him. And they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by the sword, famine and plague, and by the wild beast of the earth. Why the wild beast? Because they're hungry because of the famine. They start eating people. See, it's a natural progression. The first horseman is the Antichrist. The second horseman is the war he causes. The third horseman is the famine and the plague that this war brings. And the fourth horseman is death and hell, that the famine war, that the Antichrist war and famine and plague and wild animals bring. It's a natural progression. The fifth seal, listen to this. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God. Here's the persecution of the great tribulation right here. And the testimony they had maintained. And they called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Then each of them was given a white robe and told to wait a little longer, until the number of their fellow servants and brothers were to be killed. That will be the end of the tribulation. All right. I watched as he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. Now, I want you to remember this imagery, because we're going to go and confirm this same picture again. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded up like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. And the kings of the earth, and the princes, and the generals, and the rich and mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains, and they called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? This is Jesus returning. This is the end of the Great Tribulation. This is when all those tribes are mourning at the sign of the Son of God in the sky, crying to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. These six seals contain the whole picture. Now, in chapter 7, we get more into the sixth seal, and I want you to remember this. The 144,000 are sealed here. And this angel, as they're told, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees, none of that destruction, until we seal the number of the 144,000. The sealing of the 144,000, 10,000 from each tribe, happens just scant moments before Jesus returns. The great crowd that we see mentioned with them, verse 9, after this I looked before me was a great multitude no one could count from every tribe and nation, and they were standing before the throne, in front of the Lamb, and they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches, and their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God. Verse 13, the angel tells John, one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they? And I said, and where did they come from? And I said, sir, you know. He said, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation. So you see, this is at the end of the tribulation when the 144,000 are being sealed. Shortly before, he destroys everything. So the 144,000 aren't even sealed until scant moments before Jesus returns. When they see the sign of the Son of Man in the sky, when these other people are crying out to the rocks, fall on him, because the day of his wrath has come, when the sun turns black like sackcloth and the moon turns red and the stars fall from the earth to the earth, this is when this happens. That's when the 144,000 are sealed. Now, remember what it said in Daniel 9? What was one of the caveats that had to be fulfilled in the 77s? To bring in everlasting righteousness and to anoint the most holy. That's what these 144,000 are. That's when they're sealed. They're anointed. That's when we see an end to Daniel's 77s. When the most holy are anointed. That's the very last thing mentioned. And that's the very last thing that happens before Jesus returns. Now, let's go and prove some of this. Let's go to Matthew 24. And we're going to see the same progression. The exact same progression, as a matter of fact. That Jesus, from Jesus' own lips, he tells us this, starting in verse 15, where he starts talking about the specifics. Remember how the Daniel's final seven began? With the Antichrist making a covenant, leading to him causing the abomination of desolation. How does Revelation's, the seven seals, begin? With the Antichrist bent on conquest and going out as a conqueror. They both began with the Antichrist. Well, this set of circumstances happens in the same way. The specifics of Matthew 24 begin with verse 15. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken through the prophet Daniel, direct revelation to that final seven of Daniel 9, huh? Direct correlation. Then let nobody go on the roof of his house or go down to take anything out of that house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter on the Sabbath, for then there will be a great distress, great tribulation, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Just like it was described in Revelation in Daniel 12. And if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. And he goes on to tell us in verse, all the way through this, to verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, which shows you what happens, the sun will be darkened. Remember what it said, Revelation 6? The sun would be darkened like calf's hair pulled over it. And the moon will not give its light. The moon turns blood red. The stars will fall from the sky. And the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Exact same thing. And at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. In Revelation 6, at the sixth seal, it was telling us this, wasn't it? That they cried to the mountains, captains and kings, and all these men, free men and slaves, they cried to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from his face. All the nations of the earth will mourn, and they'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he'll send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and gather his elect from the four winds. So we see it starts, this progression starts with the Antichrist and the abomination of desolation, ends with Jesus' coming. Daniel 9:27 starts with the final seven with the Antichrist and ends with Jesus' coming. Revelation 6 starts with the revelation of Antichrist and ends with Jesus' coming. Can you see it? Do you see it? Here we go. And these final events are the signs that the day of the Lord, the day of His wrath, has come, which is the thousand-year reign of Christ. All of these are the signs of how close the day of the Lord is. And it starts with Jesus' coming and His beginning to rule and reign for that 1,000 years. And it ends with the great white throne judgment. It's His day of wrath for the nations, but for us, it's our rest. And this final seven is meant to portray the events so you know what time you're in. And that's why they were sealed until the last days. And that's what we're preparing for now, is this final seven. This final seven. Now, there's so much more we could talk about here. But, you know, I've been going on for about 40 minutes now, so I'm going to take questions and comments. But do y'all see this? How it lines up?